I wasn't sure what this morning was going to be like. It's hard to believe. 30 years ago tomorrow, I actually started here as the associate pastor. And I wasn't quite sure when I became the lead pastor, but I discovered it was in February of 1993. So it's technically 26 plus years that I've been the lead pastor. And I see some of my friends out there. I see the Young Kites, Dwight and Lola. It's nice to have them with us this morning. I've known them since I've come to California. And I think I saw Rich and Lori Kundle somewhere. There they are, right there. Pastor out at Hessel, so I really appreciate your coming. We even have some representatives from Middletown, where I was for a little over 9 years. It's nice to have Jeff and Shelley Archer with us this morning. So thank you for making the effort to come down here and to be with us on this day. I came to church this morning, and I came without a belt. And so I don't know if that's an omen of what to expect here later in the day. But I went back home and got one so we didn't have a wardrobe misfunction up here. And I had a very famous pastor come once to the regional meetings. I was the president of the regional, and his name was Malcolm Cronk. And you old-timers will recognize the name because he was the guy who followed J. Vernon McGee at Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles. And he told a really funny story. Back in the day, churches had big wooden pulpits. And he normally wore suspenders. And so that morning he came into the pulpit. And when he got to the pulpit and it was time to preach, he remembered he forgot to put his suspenders on. And so as he began his sermon, he made one great gesture and kind of went up like this, and his pants went down to his ankles. But he was behind the big wooden pulpit, so he figured, I can cover this. So he said, you know, this would be an appropriate time for us just to pause and pray and think and meditate on what I just said. He later remembered, and he reached down, pulled his pants back up during the prayer. But at the end of the service, the sound guy came up to him and said, I know you thought that you were hidden from everyone, but I'm in the window directly behind the pulpit. So he said, I saw everything. I didn't want that to happen because we don't have a big wooden pulpit here, so this would have been a little embarrassing. Well, my spiritual journey began in April of 1971. That's when Jesus saved me. I was a freshman in college. And it continued as I headed off to school for training to help equip me to fulfill my pastoral calling. And after I graduated, the journey shifted westward, and I came here to California. As you know, those of you who know me, I'm from Minnesota, or as they say it back then, Minnesota. And so I came to California to serve as an intern pastor under Pastor Graves. I was the youth pastor, and I was a school teacher at Rincon Valley Christian School. And then I moved to Southern California to continue my theological education. I went to Biola University and to Grace Graduate School, and really still more years of learning how to be a good under-shepherd for Jesus. And then the journey headed back to Northern California. I became the pastor of an infant church up in Middletown, Middletown Bible Church, which, by the way, celebrates its 40th anniversary this coming October, which is hard to believe. And then it was in July of 1989, as I mentioned, I returned to Santa Rosa Bible as the associate. And then in February of 1993, I became the senior pastor. And frankly, it seems like it was yesterday that all of that took place. And an incredible amount of water has flowed under the bridge since then. And so here I stand, one last time in this pulpit, as the senior pastor of Santa Rosa Bible. 26 years ago, I shared with you that I would not attempt to fill the shoes of Pastor Graves. They were uniquely his. And I told you that I had my own unique pair of shoes, which, by the grace of God, I would walk in as I led Santa Rosa Bible into the future. And they're now well-worn, the feet are tired, and there's need for some rest. And it's time for another unique pair of shoes to be walked in. Josh has been saved, called, and equipped to lead Santa Rosa Bible Church into the next season of our ministry life. I've spent the last several years, 5-6 at least, just kind of mentoring Josh. And you probably began to notice that whenever I was gone, he was in the pulpit. And we, of course, ordained him last fall. And so we believe that it's time for a younger man with more energy than this older man has, and new vision for the days ahead. But I want to assure you that our commitments, which were established 83 years ago, that's how old Santa Rosa Bible Church is. It was born on Easter Sunday in 1936. 83 years ago, our commitments were as follows, and they remain unchanged. Number one, Jesus is Lord and Savior. Number two, the Bible is the very Word of God. Number three, the gospel is the only message that saves a lost soul. And number four, the church is Christ's body. And number five, the ultimate goal is to bring glory to God. And it is once again a time of significant change for Santa Rosa Bible. And Josh has been called by the elders to be our next lead pastor. And beginning tomorrow, I will assume the role of the associate pastor of discipleship. And I will be on a 3-month sabbatical starting tomorrow. So if you have any issue, go see Josh. Do not call Pastor Chris, because I'm not answering. Well, that's not true. I probably would answer and say, call Josh and hang up. Lori and I hope to get some rest. We're going to take some side trips, and we have a lot of stuff around the house to do. We've been meaning to do. But the reason I wanted to go away is because I wanted to give you and Josh opportunity to get used to one another in your new relationship. And so I trust that that will indeed take place. And then we'll come back in October. And Lord willing, I'll have a new pair of shoes on, and my feet will be rested, and I'll be ready to go for my new role. And my new role will be a unique one. It's primarily to identify and to nurture the next generation of leaders for Santa Rosa Bible Church. And so you'll be hearing more about that as we get closer to that day. But I'm sure these pending changes have created some anxiety and insecurity, maybe some uneasiness, and yes, probably even a little bit of fear for some of you. But I bring you some words of encouragement and hope. Interesting enough, it just dawned on me, from the book of Joshua. And so this morning, what I'd like to do in the time that remains is kind of develop a simple theme. And the theme is this: in anticipation of great change, God always provides comforting assurances. Let me say that again. In anticipation of great change, God always provides comforting assurances. And we're going to look at some of that from the book of Joshua. As a matter of fact, we note from chapter 1, there are three resources God has provided us to see us through the future days of transition. And so, as is my custom, I'd like you to turn to the book of Joshua, and we're going to read the first 9 verses, and I'm going to invite you to stand just in honor of the reading of the scriptures as I read it out loud. Joshua chapter 1, and I'm starting at verse 1. Joshua 1:1. Now, it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. And he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, this is your word. Thank you for it. We just heard your voice speak through your word. And now, Lord, it is our prayer that the Spirit of God would teach us as we spend the next few moments unpacking a few of these verses. And we do so to bring encouragement, to bring hope, to remove fear and anxiety as we think of the future of Santa Rosa Bible, as we think of the future of this local church under new leadership. So we give you these moments in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So three resources. Number one, his promises. God has given us his promises. Number two, he's given us his presence. He's given us his presence. And then third and finally, he's given us his precepts. Now, as we think of this story of Joshua, the first chapter in particular, I want to just set the table a little bit so that we have a little sense of what's taking place here. Now, I could have looked at a lot of transitions in the Bible to illustrate the transition that's taking place here. There's Elijah and Elisha, right? And, of course, Jesus and his apostles. And then, of course, Paul and the Ephesian elders. And I could have looked at many others, but I thought this would be the best one. Moses and Joshua. So what's transpiring here? Well, first of all, we are first introduced to this young man. And we say a young man, he's probably about 40 years old when we first meet him. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 9, what we find there is the first mention of Joshua. And what we see happening there is God, through Moses, delegating some responsibilities to him. The Amalekites have attacked. It's an unprovoked attack of Israel. And Joshua commands his general, Moses commands his general Joshua to prepare for the battle. And it's a very unique battle because he said, I will hold my staff up high, and as long as it's held up high, you will prevail on the battlefield. And of course, what we discover through the account is when Moses got tired and his arms would weary and he would drop the staff, there would be a shift of momentum out in the battlefield. So Aaron and Hur found a big rock for him to sit on, and then one got on one side, one got on the other side, and each helped him hold it up until the end of the day and the Israelites prevailed. That's our first introduction to Joshua. And what we discover about him is that he proved himself to be humble and teachable. And I want you to know something about this Joshua. Over the course, I've known Joshua literally since he was a baby. And I have observed him grow through the years here at Santa Rosa Bible, physically, certainly, but I have seen him grow spiritually as well. And I wouldn't have recommended to the elders that they seriously consider him as the next lead pastor if I didn't see these qualities in him, a humility and a teachability. And he has all of that. This Joshua did as well. In chapter 24 of Exodus, in verse 13, we also note that that Joshua accompanied Moses up onto Mount Sinai. And he's identified in the text as the servant of Moses, meaning he was a trusted companion and he was a disciple. And he proved himself a dependable and selfless minister to others when he assumed the mantle of leadership in the nation of Israel. In chapter 32 and verse 17, we notice that he demonstrates good discernment. You'll remember that while Moses and Joshua were up on Mount Sinai, the Israelites went crazy and they started worshiping the golden calf. And he already has developed discernment because as they're coming down off the mountain with the tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments or the Ten Words are written, Joshua hears a sound and he already has discernment because he says to Moses, it sounds like war in the camp. That's how crazy and goofy and nuts the Israelites had become. It sounds like war, manifesting good discernment. He proved himself competent. And then in Deuteronomy 31:23, we actually find Jehovah. We find the Lord commissioning Joshua as the next leader, as Israel's next leader. And it's not going to be an easy task. First of all, according to Deuteronomy 34:8, the great Moses, the great leader, the great emancipator, the deliverer of the nation of Israel has died. And the nation is mourning. They're grieving Moses' death. He was well-loved, and he was respected. I remember when I assumed this role 26 years ago, and Pastor Graves had been here for a very long time. As a matter of fact, Lori did an interesting little study of the pastors of Santa Rosa Bible Church, and I want you to know how unique this church is. We were founded, as I said, in 1936. During the first 16 years of our existence, there were eight pastors over the course of 16 years. Over the next 67 years, there have only been two pastors. Pastor Graves was here for 41 years, and I've been here for 26 years. You cannot appreciate what a blessing it is to have that kind of stability in a local church. I'll help you appreciate it. The average stay of a lead pastor is 3 years. And Santa Rosa Bible has had this incredible stability, which to some people might be a bane, a curse, but for reasonable thinking people, they understand that there's tremendous value, because when you've had someone who's been somewhere for a long time, there's this thing called stability. Stability. That was Moses, 40 years on the job, and now he's gone. So that was the first problem, but then he had to deal with another problem. Moses' shoes were gigantic. They were humongous, and I remember when I became the lead pastor thinking to myself, how do I follow this act, this unique man of God who had unique gifts? How do I follow that guy? And it came to me. There would only be one Pastor Graves, and I was not him. I was Chris Bauer, uniquely gifted, uniquely called, and so I would just, by the grace of God, be who he made me. And that's who I've been for the past 26 years. And Josh will come into this role, and that's who he will be as well. Now, let me talk very specifically. That's the setting. That's the setting. So let me talk about the promises that Joshua was given. In the first four verses, let me just make a few quick observations. First of all, verse 1, it says, after the death. So the circumstance that led to the transition in leadership was Moses' passing. Now, that's not the case here, at least not yet. I'm here. I could pass before the end of the day, but he died after 40 years of leading the nation. And the death of a national leader can precipitate a crisis. I remember as a 12-year-old boy in sixth grade hearing that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And I remember as a nation what turmoil it created, because there was going to be this unexpected dramatic change and shift in leadership. From a human perspective, the change of leaders for the Israelites was a very formidable and momentous event. And yet, they had to be reminded that the real leader of Israel was not Moses. The real leader of Israel was Jehovah, and he was still very much alive and well. And I want you to know that this morning. My semi-retirement and stepping down into another role is the reason for the change here at Santa Rosa Bible. But what was true then is still true now. And that is this: the real leader of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still at the helm. He is still in control. He is still in charge. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. And over in Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul helps us understand that the church belongs to the Lord Jesus, and he is its Lord. Listen, he says, and he put, referring to the Father, he put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church has a senior pastor, but it isn't Chris Bauer. The senior pastor of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd, as he's called in the Bible. And as we gather here this morning, even though there's this big change coming for us, I just want you to remember that this church belongs to the Lord Jesus. He said he would indeed build it, and not even the gates of hell could stand against it. And he reminds us that the Lord Jesus is its head. He is its leader. He is its sovereign. He is its Lord. In verse 2, he tells us, the land I'm giving them. Joshua was given a formidable job. I don't know if you understand how frightening this must have been for this young man. He was given a formidable job. He was told that he was going to take this 1 to 3 million group of people across the Jordan into the land of Canaan, and he would conquer the land. But the problem with the land was occupied. It was occupied. Chapter 3 and verse 10 of the book of Joshua tells us who occupies it. It's a bunch of ites. It's the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Hittites and a variety of other ites. Meaning there are people in the land, and so Israel has to drive out in order to conquer. And those people were vigorous and they were well conditioned as armies. And so he's looking at that as a potential obstacle as he anticipates leading the nation of Israel into the land. Additionally, it tells us in chapter 3 and verse 15 that they had to cross over the River Jordan. Now, I've been to Israel 6 times and I've seen the Jordan River, and it doesn't look that formidable as you think of crossing over it, especially if you're in there in the summertime. I've been there usually in late winter, early spring. So it is definitely full because all of the snow that melts off of Mount Hermon, 9,000 feet above sea level, finds its way down to the various tributaries, and then it finds its way into the River Jordan, and it winds itself down the Rift Valley. And it doesn't look that formidable. I grew up on the Mississippi River. I know what a river is. And I know what a big river is, and I know what it looks like at flood stage, but this text tells us it was flood stage. It was late spring, and the waters were swift, and they were deep, and they were filled with all kinds of debris, and it was dangerous. So not only does he have to drive a people out who live in the land, but they have to cross over Jordan at flood stage. And that's crossing over somewhere between 1 and 3 million people and all their stuff. General Joshua has a challenge. And then when they get over to the other side, many of its cities were shut up tight and they were walled and they were well fortified. And of course, you know the first city they had to conquer, the city of Jericho. I've stood on Tel Jericho, and it's a little hard to really get a feel for what that must have been like because it's not much left now. But as we stand there and we read the account from Joshua, it's kind of exciting to imagine this well-fortified city and the unique plan God had for it. God wants you to march around it once a day for 6 days. And just march around it. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. And so they did that for 6 days. And then he said, on the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times. And then on the seventh time, I want you to have the priests blow the shofar or the horn. And then I want you all to yell. And the walls will come down. I love Joshua because he did exactly what Jehovah told him to do. And you know the story. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, right? And the walls came. Okay. Nicely done. Nicely done. That's what he was facing. But I love verse 3. God said to him, I have given it to you. I have given it to you. Jehovah gave Joshua a specific promise. But you know what? He had to claim it. He had to lay hold of it, because the next phrase says, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I will give to you. So it wasn't like he just stood around and waited for things to happen. No, no. He had to advance. He had to advance. And as he would advance, God would give victory and they would reclaim the territory. We don't have time this morning to look at the similar promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the entire nation. But as you look at the book of Genesis and as you look at the book of Exodus, you discover repeatedly God kept saying to them, this land is yours. As far as your eye can see, this land is yours. And it's not a very big land today. You can traverse it north and south and east and west easy in a day. It's the size of New Jersey. It is not very big. But it is a precious possession to the nation of Israel, because Jehovah gave it to them. And here's the man that he entrusted the responsibility to. You know, as the new lead pastor, Josh faces a formidable task of his own. I could identify a lot of things that he's going to be facing, and then maybe he would move away and not want to be here, but let me just give you a biblical task that he has. Colossians 1:28, Paul writes, we proclaim him. We preach. Admonishing every man, we counsel. And teaching every man, we instruct with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Our goal as a local church, and Josh will have this responsibility to lead you in, is to equip the people of God so they will mature into Christ-like people. That will be his responsibility. It's a formidable task, to be sure. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, the apostle Paul reminds us that's not an easy task, individually in our personal lives, nor corporately in a local church life. For this reason, you know the verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. How come? Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, the strategies of the devil. Let me assure you of this. Where there is a church that believes the Bible, preaches the gospel, teaches the word of God, the devil is afoot, and he is active because he knows the power of the Word of God in transforming people's lives. And Santa Rosa Bible for 83 years has been known for one thing, and it's in our name, the Santa Rosa Bible Church. We preach it, we teach it, and we endeavor by the grace of God to live by it. Josh's responsibility as the leader amongst leaders is to help us as a local church do combat with the enemy and be victorious, to continue to propagate the gospel, teach the word of God, mature the saints. And he's been given some wonderful promises for the tough task. Back to Colossians 1. I didn't read the next verse, but the next verse is really important. The tasks are identified in verse 28, but 29 says this, for this purpose also I labor, striving, I love this, according to his power, which mightily works within me. And Josh, that will be his resource as well. The power of God working in him. You see, when Josh became a Christian, Josh had the Holy Spirit come and take up residence within him. And so Josh now walks around with the Spirit of God dwelling within him, and he's been given equipment. We call it spiritual gifting. And through the Holy Spirit's enablement, he will use those gifts to continue to lead and to continue to grow and to continue to mature this local church in the days ahead. I look over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 16 and verse 20, a similar thought. He, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within him." And the Greek word that's often translated for power is dunamis, and it's the word we get dynamite from. It's the word we get dynamo from. So Josh has dwelling within him the Holy Spirit, who in a sense is the spiritual dynamite that he will need, this explosive power to enable him to preach the word, to teach the word, to shepherd you, and to lead you into the days ahead. Just as Joshua was promised, so this Joshua has the same promise. And then secondly, his presence. Back to Joshua chapter 1, and look at a couple of verses, verse 5 and verse 9. And I like these verses because they remind us of another thing that means a great deal to us as we lead. Look at verse 5. "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses." This is God speaking to Joshua. "I will be with you, and I will not fail you or forsake you." The Lord points back to a similar pledge he made to Joshua's predecessor. If you go back to Exodus chapter 3, you remember the story of the burning bush where God gave Joshua his calling? I love these verses. This is Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. "Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, Joshua, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to make excuses to God. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And Jehovah said to him, "Certainly, I will be with you." And that's really all you need to know, Josh. He will be with you. And that's all we need to know. He will be with us as well. He assures Joshua he will not be alone in the task. I love what Martin Luther wrote a long time ago. "One plus God equals a majority." The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. He said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" I want you to think of that as we anticipate the future. You see, Jehovah would accompany Joshua wherever he went and whatever he would attempt for the Lord. And there's so many wonderful verses reminding us of the presence of the Lord. For instance, Psalm 139 in verses 7 through 10. Listen carefully as King David writes these words, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in Sheol," that's down there, "behold, you're even there. And if I take the wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me." To the nation of Israel, through the words of the prophet Isaiah, as they were on the precipice of going into exile, this is what the Lord said to Israel, and he's saying it to us as we're on the horizon of some changes. He said, "Don't be afraid." Why? "Because I'm with you." "Don't anxiously look about you." Why? "I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I've always loved, right next door in the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse, these words from the prophet. He's quoting God, and God says, "Am I a God who is near? Declares the Lord, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I don't see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Declares the Lord." What's my point? My point is, as Joshua was given the promise of the presence of God for his future, I want you to know this morning as a local church, and I want Josh to know as the lead pastor of this local church starting tomorrow morning, that you don't do it alone. You don't go it alone. God goes with you. The Lord goes with you. And I love the promise that he gave regarding his presence. He says, I will not fail you. You know, literally what that means in the Hebrew, I won't drop you. I won't drop you. In that Isaiah 41 passage, he talked about how he has Israel in his right hand. And he's saying, I'm not going to go, whoops, sorry. He said, I've got you securely. He said, I'm not going to forsake you. He promised he would not leave or abandon Joshua. The idea is, I'm not going to leave you in the lurch. The idea being, I'm not going to abandon you to an uncomfortable or desperate situation. Here's the thing. God never walks out of his promises. God makes a promise. God keeps a promise. And we have a whole book full of them that you can claim as you move forward into the future. As we move forward with this pastoral change, the Lord promises Josh and us his presence as well, right? You know, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, as he was with his disciples, he had given some final instructions. But just before he ascended, he said to them something that I want to say to you, because he has said it to you. He's saying it to you. And this is what he said. He said, lo, I'm with you every Wednesday. I am with you every Sunday. No. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Or one of my favorites, it's very similar, is found in the book of Hebrews, and it's in the 12th chapter, excuse me, the 13th chapter. Listen to these words. He said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you or abandon you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? The Lord will not walk out on us just because leadership changes. We move forward into the future accompanied by our God. Listen to the promise he gave to the nation of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy in the 31st chapter in the 6th verse. I love this verse. Be strong. Be courageous. That sounds familiar because he said the very same thing to Joshua, didn't he, in chapter 1? We read it just a moment ago. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't be weak, be strong. Be up for this. Depend upon me. I'll be your strength. And be courageous. You know, people don't understand what it means to be courageous. I like one definition of it. To be courageous is, as this person defined it, it's fear that has said its prayers. Being courageous is fear that has said its prayers. And whatever you're fearing about the future, you pray, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't tremble, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you, and he will not fail you or abandon you. That's for us this morning. And then finally, we come to his precepts, verses 7 and 8. In verse 7, he says, be careful to do all the law. The law he's talking about here is the scripture, the word of God. And specifically here, it's the Torah. Genesis through the book of Deuteronomy, that's the Torah. That's the law. And he says, be careful to do all the law. In other words, observe, Joshua, and obey my word. And do it faithfully and do it fully. And then in verse 8, he says, and don't let it depart from your mouth. Meaning Joshua was to continually talk about the Lord's instructions. He was to continually teach the people of Israel. He was to communicate God's word regularly to God's people. And then for him personally, so he could be effective at communicating God's word regularly to God's people, he said, and meditate on the word day and night. Joshua was to personally and continually think about God's word. The word meditate in the Old Testament is an interesting word. It literally means to mutter to yourself. To mutter to yourself. So sometimes you've heard the word defined this way, like a cow chewing its cud. And we all understand that picture. The cow eats the grass. The cow chews on the grass. The cow swallows the grass. And then the cow brings it back up and ruminates on it once again, extracting all the nutrients from it so that when the cow gives milk, it's really good milk. Personally, I don't think there is such a thing as good milk. I hate milk. But nonetheless, the picture is of something that is just chewed on and chewed on, and in this case, mused over and thought on, and you try to extract as much as you can from the Word of God. What does it mean, and how should it impact my life? That's the picture that's painted here by this word. Meditate, Joshua, on the law, on the scriptures, on the Word of God, day and night. It doesn't mean that's all he did. It's this idea of doing it continually. It is a habit of life that Joshua had. The consistent and clear communication of the scriptures will continue to be Santa Rosa Bible Church's priority under Joshua's leadership. As our Josh has often said, we need to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into us. And we will continue to admonish the church to read it, to listen to it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate on it, and most importantly, to live it. Don't be a walking Bible encyclopedia. Don't be a walking Bible dictionary. Be a man, be a woman who knows it, and it has been distilled through your entire person. And as Spurgeon said, when you would cut Spurgeon, his blood, he said, I hope is bibbling. And he would bleed scripture because it was so integrated into his being, not just in knowledge, but in living. And that will be the task of Josh. So, in anticipation of this change, and it is a big change, but in anticipation of it, know this, God always provides comforting assurances. And those assurances are the same as the ancient Joshua had. God's promises found in his word, his presence in our lives, and his precepts, his word. I leave you with this thought from Elizabeth Elliot. I like this, and I quote, "It is God to whom and with whom we travel, and while he is the end of the journey, he is also at every stopping place along the way." He is at this stopping place as we advance into the future. We go with him. As a matter of fact, he's already gone and he's prepared the way. We just need to do what the Israelites did under Joshua's leadership. We need to cross over Jordan and we need to put our souls, S-O-L-E, on the ground and claim what he has promised. And I trust God will grant grace to us as a local church to do just that. And I know he will. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we come into your presence now and close our time of worship as we have sung and prayed and now we've listened to you speak through your word. And as our prayer, as we think about the days ahead, to recognize Santa Rosa Bible has been here many times before. Most recently, 26 years ago. And Lord, you granted the grace to us as a local church to move forward, to in a sense cross over Jordan, go into Canaan, understanding that you have made promises and you are a promise keeper. And one of those promises is that you are present with us always. And may we remember that. And then you have given us your precepts. You have given us your word. And that word will guide us. That word will direct us. And Lord, may you bless the days ahead under Josh's leadership. And may we continue to be a church that is Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, Christ glorifying. And may you continue to bless us to win the lost to Christ and to build up the saints and to draw attention to you and to you alone. We love you and we're so grateful that you will hold us fast because you love us. And as we sing this next song, I pray that it will minister to each one of us as we prepare for those days that are yet ahead of us, that you have already marked out. Grant us grace to go with you, we pray. In the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, amen.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our mission is to see the lost reached and believers transformed by Jesus. You can find out more information about us at our website at srbible.org, or you can visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road in Santa Rosa, California. You can also reach us by phone at 707-538-2385.